Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye. Tommy Keane joins us live today. He has a new album called In the Late Bright. Originally from Washington, D.C., Tommy has been making music since the 1980s, and his first EP, Places That Are Gone, and his first two albums on Geffen Records are classics of the power pop genre. He's also an in-demand guitarist working with Paul Westerberg, among others, and forming the Keane Brothers with Bob Pollard of Guided by Voices. Tommy Keane joins us with an acoustic guitar today, and we begin with this version of the title song of In the Late Bright.
Turn it down, the mattress rings. The electric cure, teeth and time will get you home in a wide open town. You're upside down in my book. You're way upstairs when you. I still can't breathe. The nighttime world has lost its appeal. The day is done. I cannot feel anymore. I cannot feel anymore.
Tommy Keane is our guest today, and that's the title track of In the Late Bright, new album, the 12-string version here today. I was, I came into your music, I guess, where a lot of people did, with the Places That Are Gone EP that was out on, what, Dolphin?
The Dolphin.
Dolphin Records. And I was reading today about 18 zillion bands you were in before that, in various roles, sideman, you know, whatever it may be. Did you envision yourself as being the lead guy in a band from the beginning, or were you set out to be a guitarist at the beginning, or did you really, how did you see that?
Actually, I started as a drummer.
Uh-huh.
So I played drums in bands when I was 11 to, say, 17, but I started playing guitar when I was 8, and I started playing piano when I was 6 or 7. And I went from the drummer to the rhythm guitar player to the rhythm lead guitar player to the lead guitar player that sings, and I eventually worked my way up to front man. And I remember I had been with a group in D.C. for, 2 years, which when you're 19 seems equivalent to 10. And they were a big deal in town, and we couldn't get a major label deal.
Was that Raz? Was that?
Raz, yeah. Uh-huh. And then I went up to New York, and I played with some people, and played a couple bands. And I met this manager. He said, why don't you just start your own band? And I had never thought of that. And I just thought it would be a gimmick. It would be the most outrageous thing to do, because I didn't ever envision myself as a front man. And I thought my voice was a bit distinctive or different. And I thought, well, this might be it. And I thought at the time, I'll do this for about 2 or 3 years, put out a few independent records, see what happens. And then I'm still doing it. So, but I also, I do play with other people, which I love.
Absolutely.
I love to do. Yeah. I love, in fact, my latest thing is I'm playing bass with this woman from Austin, Texas, who's originally from England. Her name is Sally Crew. And we went to England just this past December, and here now I'm playing bass. So I love playing with people if they've got good songs. And I've played guitar with Velvet Crush, Adam Schmidt, Paul Westerberg, and Bob Pollard most recently. And in fact, one tour I played guitar and keyboards, which was fantastic because I hadn't done that since a teenager, and you can sit there and play guitar, keep the guitar, and sit down and play a little bit of the verse on the keyboard, stand up, and it was just hilarious.
Well, the Keane Brothers worked out really well, the band with Bob.
Uh-huh.
And I know you were playing with Paul Westerberg. Now, I heard you attempted some songwriting with Paul, but that didn't work, or?
Well, early on, I think in 87, we got together. We didn't know each other too well, and we had one guitar between the two of us, so it's kind of difficult. So we had to keep passing this guitar back and forth. And I think at the time, he'd never tried to write with anyone. So he didn't know that when you do, you've got to bring something to the table.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of came up with something, and then I came up with something, and we were messing around. But it's a real discipline thing to do. You sit down with two people and write a song. And I don't think he'd ever done it. I don't think I had either, actually. But then we did do, 10 years later in the 90s, 97, I sent him a couple songs, and I just wanted him to write lyrics because he's really witty and funny. And he said, oh, I couldn't write lyrics for the melody line that you had, so I came up with my own melody line, which at the time was very much in the vein of that Capitol record he put out in 97, 98, Suicane.
Mm-hmm. Suicane
gratification.
Yeah.
Gratification. And it was more suited to him, and I just didn't think I could really do it, pull it off. So I ended up just using my original melody line and writing lyrics to it. Mm. So.
But you and Bob Pollard, that seems pretty sympathetic.
Right. Yes, that was falling off a log. That was amazing. I would send him music, and then he would come up with a melody line on top and sing the melody line and write the lyrics. And the most amazing thing about it is most of these songs were songs that I had been writing recently, and I had definite melody lines. This is what happens. This is the way the melody goes in the verse. This is the way the melody goes in the chorus. And I had to just sort of let that go. And he would come up with something completely different that I never would have thought of that really worked. Hmm. So, and I'll be honest, a couple of the songs I thought were throwaways. I mean, I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't think they were that special. They were like a lot of Tommy Keane songs that had been on records. The one that I had the least hope for turned out to be the best song on the record. And he just came up with this amazing melody line and lyrics. It's called Death of the Party.
Hmm.
And it's the best song. And I thought it was just a complete throwaway.
Now, is that the kind of relationship will continue? Will there be another?
I think so. I mean, he does so many projects
and prolific
records, as you know. And I mean, it's kind of up to him. Yeah. He's just got so much going on. But he did say this time, if we did it, it would not be called the Keane Brothers. It would be called the Pollard Brothers.
But
the Keane Brothers was his idea, by the way.
Yeah, don't tell him it's a better name. But anyway, there you go. Tommy Keane is here with us today, the Keane Brothers solo. And what would you like to do next?
This is another song from a new record, In the Late Bright. And this is called Secret Life of Stories.
Was ripe for the lilies. You got any happy money on you? Going to a garden party. Shadow the knives. Break out with the hives. Two hands for the piano. Just to pass it to feed to the dogs. Nothing quite up to standards. Have yourself time to get out of my life. Got it made in the shade of life. Get off the fence, hortense, you're right. Got it straight from the fridge, Dad. Shaking the meat till it comes right off the bones. Olive, don't need to worry. The pressure's on time and no one's going home. Lost in the bug house, you fracture me. I'm feeling no pain now, all the world is dead.
Climb the 6-foot ladder when you're down upon the ground, you'll know. Getting the blast put on your head. I'm feeling no pain now. All the world is dead. He was right for the lilies. You got any happy money on you? Going to a Courtney party. Shadow the knives and break out with the highs. Two hands for the piano.
Tommy Keene is with us today, and that is The Secret Life of Stories, another one from In the Late Bright, the new album. And I'm trying not to use the power pop word, but this kind of melodic guitar-driven pop music. It's about how timeless it is. You can talk about the very first things you listen to, perhaps Beatles music, or I don't know, maybe whatever, and then what you're doing today. And it's a total evolution of that, but it sounds pretty modern to me. Were the Beatles the first thing? Was that kind of thing? Or I've heard you mention the Who.
I mean, that was a big, momentous explosion when I saw them. One of my first memories is seeing them on Ed Sullivan. So I would have been 5 and a half. It was as if they were from Mars or something. It was just the most amazing thing, and it just changed everything. From then on, I mean, I was vaguely aware of music. My mom used to play. She listened to singers like Sam Cooke or Nancy Wilson, or my dad liked stuff like Al Hurt and that clarinet player. I can't remember his name, but
Pete Fountain.
Yes. And sorry, I remember hearing "Sherry" by the Four Seasons on the radio. But then it was just the Beatles.
Yeah. And I heard the Who were in there for you. Definitely.
Right. And then there's actually, I just told this funny story online. The first guitar lesson I ever went to on the way up, I was with my mom, and it was 67, and I heard I Can See for Miles on the radio, which just completely blew me away. And I walked in and I said, "This is what I want to learn how to play." And the guy said, No. We've got to start at the beginning. We saw them on the Smothers Brothers show, and that was sort of similar to the Beatles. So then from then on, and then I saw them live when I was 9 in D.C. in 68, and that was just incredible as well. So all those bands, the British Invasion bands and the American bands, the Byrds and Love and Spoonful and stuff like that.
And I'm also thinking of people like the Jam and Paul Weller, who came out of that, are still kind of like you, still drawing inspiration from that era, still trying to make things.
Yeah, I mean, the trick is, I mean, the two things, funny thing, I hear power pop being thrown around a lot now with very young bands that to me just sound like the Foo Fighters or something, which is, who are good. But then there's the classic sense of power pop where you get these guys with sort of Beatle haircuts and Rickenbackers. And that's what gets a little cheesy about it, because it's too much recreation, a relic. Ancient looking, but the basic foundation of power pop is fantastic. It's the Beatles, it's the Who, it's the Stones, it's the Byrds, it's Bob Dylan, and you can get, it's basically what's great, everything that's great about rock and roll. And if you don't fall into that la la la, you know, sing about the, well, cars and girls, but I love the Beach Boys too. But, you know, a lot of these power pop bands are just diehard about it. If you can take those elements that make the music so great and try to keep it somewhat contemporary and try to put an individual spin on it, that's probably the way to go. It's probably what I try to do, but
yeah,
I do get the power pop thing a lot. I don't mind it.
Tommy Keen, he's our guest today on The Cafe. Tom, we got time for one more. What do you want to do?
This is a song by Alex Chilton. It's from the Big Star third record, and it's called Nighttime. At nighttime, I go out and see the people. It goes cool and hurry on my way and dress it up neat. All the people to see, they're looking at me. All the people to see. And when I set my eyes on you, you looked like a kitty. And when you're in the moon, oh, you look so pretty. I caught a glance in your eyes and fell through the skies. Glance in your eyes and fell through the skies. Now walking down a freezing street, scarf goes out behind me. You say, get them away, but please don't say a word. Get me out of here, get me out of here. I hate it here, get me out. At night time, I go out and see people. It goes cool and hurry on my way and dressing up neat. All the people to see, they're looking at me. All the people to see.
Nighttime from Tommy Keen. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia and XPN.org. There are more podcasts to subscribe to and many other things to check out at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.